This month marks the 30th anniversary of a major milestone in the United States, the signing of the Americans with Disabilities Act. The passing of this legislation has increased access for opportunity for people with disabilities in workplaces and communities across the country. Up next on Media Meet, we look at efforts locally, the work that's been done, and what's ahead in the next 30 years. Welcome to Media Meet. I'm your host, Elizabeth Peterson. The ADA is celebrating a major milestone this month, 30 years since its passing. The legislation, signed into law on July 26, 1990 by President George Bush, is a landmark piece of civil rights legislation. With its creation, barriers were broken down for people with disabilities. Access in the workplace and in communities have continued to improve. And while this is a time to look back, it's also a time to look forward. So much work and progress has been made, and yet there is still much to be done. Organizations across the country are using this anniversary as a catalyst for conversation and action. We're talking here today with the Superior Alliance for Independent Living to look at efforts across the Upper Peninsula. Joining us via Zoom, Sarah Purikoski, Executive Director of SAIL, and here in the studio, Lucy Wilcox, Accessibility Services Coordinator and the ADA Certified Coordinator for SAIL. So I want to thank you both for joining us today. It's always great to have you on the show. Again, you know, these milestones like this, these big milestones, they're always a time to pause, to reflect, to look back on what's working, maybe what hasn't worked, the lessons learned. So I thought to start the program off for both of you, as you look back on all that you have accomplished here in the Upper Peninsula and then the accomplishments across the country, what are the big moments that stand out to you? Sarah, do you want to start?
Yeah, you know, I think in the Upper Peninsula, for the most part, it's been outdoor recreation has changed tremendously in the past 30 years. Obviously, people are recreators in the Upper Peninsula, but with that ADA and the regulations that have changed, people are getting much more access to outdoor recreation, kayaking, biking, things of that nature that are available. The types of programs that people are offering are much more available in that sense. I also see employment being with the ADA. People are more willing to hire people with disabilities, be more open about that. There's not as much fear. People want to be able to be employed, to make a living for themselves. And I really believe that making sure that employment is one of the higher priorities. So that's changed, I believe, in the past 30 years. Also, you know, service animals is another piece that I see has changed, that people are more aware of, having animals help people with their types of disabilities or being trained to help them with their disability. So there's a lot, I think, that has changed, but I do believe there's a lot still left to be done.
And we'll certainly look into that here today. Lucy, what about for you? What are some moments that stick out?
What's interesting for me is this wasn't my world until just a couple of years ago in terms of a specific role looking at fostering accessibility. Although I live with, I have a nephew who's in his 50s who has intellectual disability, so I grew up with that. But the ADA is very different in terms of really saying that we're going to make sure that people do have access, and that the schools have done quite a bit for a long time. I think the point Sarah brought up about employment is so important, because part of what's happened over the past 30 years is there was this idea that if you just put a group of individuals with disabilities together in a single workshop, that was somehow sufficient. And if they did the same repetitive job for 25 years, that was considered employment, and subminimum wage was allowed. So in the years I've been in the UP, and certainly working both in mental health and with SAIL on employment, there are significant strides in individuals. The state government pushed very hard, starting 7 odd years ago, with saying we needed to work with the 16-year-olds to the 26-year-olds who are in special education and assure that they have real employment opportunities in the outside world and not staying in a workshop.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, because the ADA is a civil rights bill, there are a number of misconceptions. We've talked through these before on the show, but I think it's worth going through them again, as those misconceptions, they continue on today. Question over who or what entities the law applies to, how it's enforced, the handling of complaints. It's not always a clear road. So talk through some of those misconceptions that you see here in the UP.
Well, I'll go
first. Let Lucy take that one.
because what's really important to understand is that the federal government can sign a law, and then it can take 5 to 8 to 10 years for the federal regulators to develop the ways to actually make them so. And then the legislator, the Congress, has to then approve those regulations. So because everybody could feel really good 30 years ago on July 26th, and I think to date it's still the biggest party that they ever had on the lawn for the signing of a bill with over 2,000 people there, but the regulations were not enacted until 1997. So there's a significant time lag. So then it has to come to the states. And then the states get to put their hands and touch all how this is going to fit with their state codes and their state laws. And the general rule is that the more stringent, if the federal's more stringent, that has to be followed. So there's a learning that goes on that's just critical. And if there aren't opportunities to really learn that and get educated about it, then you don't know. You just think, oh, we're good.
Sure. So it's a process. And the ADA, as you've talked about, it covers so many areas. There is the issue of mobility. We see handicap signage, ramps, sidewalks that allow for those with disabilities to move with ease. Improvements in this area continue to be made. How accessible do you find communities in the Upper Peninsula to be 30 years after this legislation was passed?
Yeah, you know, I believe that there's still a lot of work to be done, partly because the education of the law may not be as high in the Upper Peninsula, maybe not because they're not interested, but maybe just because they're not informed as much. That's what I'm hoping SAIL can do, is help businesses and organizations understand that. I do believe people have really good hearts and they want to do the right thing, but really not really understanding it. It seems to be very overwhelming for businesses and organizations to really get down to that nitty gritty. There's some real basic things that can help an organization or business be a little bit more accessible, just pretty easy site type surveys that we can go through. We've been working with Travel Marquette to look at some of the local hotels and businesses just to help in that first step to have them understand. You know, we get calls sometimes of people saying, I want your organization to go out to this restaurant that I couldn't get into because the stairs were in the front door. And they told me I could go in, but I had to go back in through the kitchen area, through their accessible entrance. So that's not really a dignified way to look at accessibility. So I think that, you know, organizations and businesses in the Upper Peninsula are still supposed to follow that law, and individuals that are seeing that do have that right to come and ask that business and talk to them about, are there ways for you to change that? But I do believe people want to change it. They just may not have all the resources that they might need. And so I hope SAIL can be that resource for them.
And I think part of the issue with that is that there was confusion at the federal level and state level about getting grandfathered in. And we talked a little bit about that when we were here with you before. And it was this idea that, well, if you didn't have to meet the standards because you weren't new, and if it was going to be too expensive, you just didn't have to even try. And so they then did an amendment to the ADA 20 years later that passed in 2010, and it said, no, you really do have to show effort. And so that, I think, there was miseducation, and then there was just, yeah, we don't have the same population. If you go to San Francisco, if you have developmental disabilities and you're young and you want to be a star, go to San Francisco because it's accessible, but it's a huge environment, you know, and so they've been able to accomplish a lot. We need to do more education and assistance with the simple things that can be accomplished pretty easily, and then move toward, well, how do we do better as a community working together?
Sure. Now, there are over 40 million people living in the United States with a disability. Many were born with a disability, and many have had to adapt to their disability later in life. And this creates a situation where someone is used to a particular lifestyle that without access may not be accessible or possible anymore. But with the work of organizations like yours, it's becoming more possible than ever, allowing people to continue the quality of life that they deserve and that they're used to. But it's more than handicap signs and ramps. And you talked, Lucy, you touched on this earlier, that there's such a range of disabilities and issues, issues of segregation by disability. Explain this a little bit more and what more needs to be done here in our community regarding that.
The need for education is just so important. And I put myself out as a model for that because I really started digging into this field just 2 years ago. So I'm a novice. So there are people in the community, though, who have been very serious about improving access and making it possible. And what we hope to showcase in our 12 days of ADA birthday presents to the community is across the spectrum some of the important changes. And so we know that we have to work small and do more education. And the piece that I think I've learned the most about and the need for the most is advocacy. And that's education, right? Advocacy is really educating people. And we have some opportunities to do that.
Sure. And, you know, that brings up an interesting time because right now, educating via Zoom or the internet, you can't go to people, you can't bring people together. Sarah, talk a little bit about how the pandemic has affected your services and how you are continuing to educate and keep connected with the community.
Yeah, number one, you know, we really try hard to keep our website accessible. We look at that website pretty frequently to make sure that people can gain access to it. If there's alternative texts to pictures that we might put up on our website, That if we do presentations out in the community, that people that need to use a screen reader might be able to use that. Now, granted, we can't be, we're not perfect and we're still working on it, because people that need those types of things, we highly encourage them to come tell us how they can access it a lot better. We do our best to try to accommodate a variety of people. We've been doing a lot of virtual events at this point, and obviously we understand that not everybody in our community has access to internet or to a tablet, but we try our best to let people know through Facebook. A lot of people do have Facebook. They can come to our website. There's just a lot of different things that I think that people don't realize that the ADA can cover, in the sense of that communication skill, having, you know, closed captions on any videos that we put out, having any type of, you know, we don't do Braille all that well, but if we were to give documents out, brochures or things of that nature, to make sure those have Braille accommodations to it. So in this pandemic, it's been difficult just because of that, people needing that access, but we want to make sure that that is also accessible. So it's, like you said, Elizabeth, not just signage and entrance and restrooms.
And, you know, I want to just give a quick reminder to those of you watching and those listening on Public Radio 90. We're here today talking about the 30th anniversary of the ADA with the executive director of SAIL and the accessibility services coordinator. So I want to thank both of you again for being here. So let's talk a little bit more about what you're all doing this month. Over the next couple of weeks, you're celebrating, recognizing this anniversary. Monday, you're officially kicking things off, sort of essentially here with me today. Certainly, the format in which you're celebrating has changed, as we just talked about. What else do you all have planned, and how did you have to adjust that celebration because of everything going on with COVID?
Well, we really wanted to have a big party with cake and ice cream, you know, and hopefully have worked with the library or some other big venue and had teach-ins, have opportunities for people who are interested in advocacy to go and begin to talk about how to do that and how SAIL really wants and needs volunteers, and for a number of reasons. That didn't happen. So, Sarah is indomitable, and she said, okay, what are we going to do instead? And I'm probably the lowest tech person in the agency, but I said, well, let's have a birthday party online. And what we know is that we all need to learn more, and we also need to celebrate. And so the outdoor recreation that Sarah talked about earlier, that's really something to celebrate, and particularly during this pandemic, wanting to highlight for the community that there's been real important progress in areas. And so we called up a lot of the people who we've come to rely on to help us educate ourselves and to work in the community. And so there'll be a series of different panels, and some of them to deal with the outdoors, because I think everybody's so hungry. After the winter, we're hungry for summer, but after winter and the pandemic, I think we're so hungry. So that is really exciting. And then the other piece that I just want to highlight, Liz, is that it really is a problem that people don't understand, that because we have the law, that doesn't mean it's so. And that the individual in the ADA has to take the responsibility to do the formal complaint. And certainly SAIL and other organizations can support, but there has to be a level of caring and commitment beyond the individual, because it's going to be a lot of work, depending on how big the issue is.
Sure.
And so we really hope to grow in terms of a positive community supporting accessibility.
And Sarah, for people who want to follow the next couple of weeks and what you all are doing and kind of learn with you all, how are you presenting this? And where can people go to see the 12 days and what you all are working on?
Yep. So we have a YouTube page for sale. We also have a Facebook page, an Instagram account, and our website. So we are right now building the rest of it. It's going to be a new page for accessibility where every day will be listed out on our website for that with all of our resources, the panels, just connections, links to great places to learn more. And what the cool thing about it is we're doing a lot of this work for this month, but it'll be up there forever. So people can come back to it and learn more or maybe link through to get to other resources. So we're going to be releasing it through our Facebook page, through our website, through our Instagram account, and on our YouTube page is where all those videos will be housed. I think we're going to have about 6 different videos of panels of people. And Lucy is absolutely correct. We had a conversation with Bill Botten, who is our training and technical assistance coordinator for the Federal United States Access Board. He spent a great half an hour with us, which we were grateful for he's in Washington, D.C. And he was talking about the regulations and the changes with the outdoor recreation and how involved he was during that process. So this is really good information for people in the Upper Peninsula to really get connected, to the national movement for people with disabilities.
And we want to recognize heroes. And we have local heroes. We have people who have been working to improve accessibility in so many different ways. And we also have resources about our national heroes. And I fell in love with a national hero in the process of preparing for all of this. And her name is Judith Human, which is not spelled H-U-M-A-N, but it's spelled so that you pronounce it that way. And I love that this leader, and she's been at the head of the disability movement since back in the late 60s and into through now, and was our international delegate under the Obama administration for 6 years to the international disability community. So it's an opportunity to meet these incredible people. And it's a time when I think I always turn to my heroes at a time when my heart is heavy. And my heart's heavy. And so we're going to offer for birthday presents heroes to hold on to.
That's great. And we talk a lot about looking back over the last 30 years, but obviously it's also looking forward. So, what will you be celebrating in 60 years? And what does the next 30 years look like? In talking with you, Lucy, you said that it's about making sure, quote, nothing is done for us without us. And it's that advocacy piece that you keep talking about. So how will you continue to work over the next 30 years as an organization, as an individual, for both of you to continue that work and make sure that it happens?
Well, I'd like Sarah, as the CEO, who advocated for my position 2 years ago and has continued in ideas that she's been developing.
Yeah, Lucy and I talk a lot, and we created what I would say the twin sisters is accessibility and advocacy. And really looking forward, I would like to engage, and I think Lucy would agree, more of the youth in our community who live with a disability. We're trying to engage that population through for employment and education and getting people to understand that it's okay to live with a disability and be able to understand what their needs are so that they can advocate for themselves in the public arena, in their employment, in their schooling, in any way, shape, or form, to kind of keep moving people towards that access and better advocacy for themselves. So I really see that SAIL needs to continue with this Access for All program that Lucy's been so generous in helping to create for SAIL, to help businesses understand that, but then also really putting it down into the education of young people and other people that live with disabilities. And Elizabeth, like you said, people that may have acquired a disability due to an accident or something that they were not expecting. So I really believe that our future at SAIL in the Upper Peninsula is with education, advocacy, and of course, access.
You know, there's this effort that you all talk about, an absolutely accessible UP. So this is all kind of under that bigger umbrella of just making an absolutely accessible UP. How do we get there? Do you see that being accomplished in the next 30 years?
I do. I really, I've been in the UP for 22 years, and I adopted UPR, and I believe that UPRs can do anything that we set our mind to because the community comes together, and we need help. Maybe a business can't afford the whole plan to do a renovation, but maybe if we're working with the schools and with the carpenters unions, we have an opportunity to blend resources and talents. And so doing that, and we've made inroads in different communities in the UP, Houghton and over at Sault Ste. Marie, and so we hope to do more education that way.
And Sarah, we just have a couple minutes left, so one more time, a lot going on over the next couple of weeks. In 2 minutes or less, explain exactly what you're all up to and where people need to keep an eye on.
So we're going to be doing 12 days starting July 13th of different resources and activities. You can find that information out on our website at upsail.org. You could go to our Facebook page, search Superior Alliance for Independent Living, our Instagram page. Get out there, learn a little bit more about the ADA. Please celebrate with us. This is a great opportunity to just help each other with advocacy and accessibility across the Upper Peninsula.
And if you're ever looking for a book to read, just ask Lucy. Every time I see you, you bring me a book. And they're always very interesting. And you have three of them on the table there. So there's tons of knowledge out there to look
and
into.
Really, and really good films.
Yes.
If reading isn't accessible, and we will be hopefully hosting a film series when we're able to all
Sit together. That sounds wonderful. Well, you know, that is all the time that we have for today. I want to thank you both for joining us. We're looking forward to everything you have planned to celebrate and wish you all the best with your events. I also want to thank all of those watching and those of you listening on Public Radio 90. For WNMU, I'm Elizabeth Peterson. Stay safe.
The program was produced by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television, in studios located in Elizabeth and Edgar Hardin Hall.